Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
And welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on WVLP 103.1 FM and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. This is our weekly program covering arts and arts events in Valparaiso and throughout Northwest Indiana. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Our theme music you heard is by Billy Foster with a vocal by Renee Foster. Underwriters for Art on the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum, regional art patron Mary Levan, and our landlord, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. If you'd like to find out more about leasing space in this historic building, please give Walt a call, 219-462-5821. I'd like to thank them for their generous support. Thanks to Greg Kovach, WVLP's station manager, and Tom Maloney, vice president, radio operations for Lakeshore Public Radio. Art in the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project grant through South Shore Arts and is part of the National Endowment for the Arts. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts, arts-related event, or exhibit, please email us at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. That's artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. Our program, along with all of our programs, are streaming live at wvlp.org. Art on the Air is rebroadcast on Monday at 5 p.m. Our entire show archive can be heard at our website, breck.com/AOTA. That's breck, BRECH.com/AOTA. You'll also find our detailed arts calendar at breck.com/AOTA. Our shows are carried by Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, every Sunday at 7 p.m., and you can hear them at lakeshorepublicradio.org. And make sure to like us on our Facebook page, Art on the Air, WVLP. Art on the Air is always looking for financial support. We'd like to thank our current supporters. If you're looking to support Art on the Air and, of course, the WVLP station, we'd be happy to become part of the WVLP family anytime. Esther and I especially would invite you to become an underwriter of this program in particular. We have information on our website at breck.com/AOTA. You can find out support information there or at wvlp.org/support. We have underwriter levels at various levels. You can support us. We'll mention you during our show and throughout the WVLP broadcast day. You know, we encourage you to become part of a supporter because we are supported by our listeners. So don't just be a WVLP and Art on the Air listener. Become a supporter or underwriter in whatever amount you're able to do so, so we continue to bring you great content and this great local programming. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. And you'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air and the whole WVLP family. Join the WVLP family today. And now our guest on Art on the Air Spotlight is someone that we've had before from Dig the Dunes, Eve Wurzbicki. Welcome to the phone.
Hi there.
How's it going? Well, yeah, I hear you have a brand new project, Eve, going on with a thing with Dig the Dunes, something different than just publishing and the other things you do. So tell us a little about what you've got going on.
I do. I had the opportunity to work with the National Park and open up the concession area over at Portage Lakefront and Riverwalk. And so it's called Dig the Dunes Trail Stop, and it's going to be open all summer. And I'm really excited to have people come and eat and drink and be merry over there and get to meet some of the people that have been following Dig the Dunes for a long time.
Okay, that sounds great.
It is great. It's great. I love the list of people you're working with, all of our favorites, Moe's and Arturo's and Cabo's and Valpo's.
Double Velvet. I really wanted to bring a lot of the local businesses that I've been working with and have them and serve their food over at Trail Stop. And we also have some local craft breweries and wineries and a beautiful view. We've had some great sunsets that we've been able to invite people have watched, and it's just been a really beautiful atmosphere to hang out and relax and enjoy some good food and drink.
How do you get there? Where is it located at exactly?
It's located at Portage Lakefront and Riverwalk, which is off of 12. It's kind of tricky to get to. You have to follow your GPS, and it looks like you're going into a steel mill. But if you keep following the road and the directions, you'll see a sign for the national park. And then as you head down the road towards the lake, it's just beautiful. It pops up and you see Lake Michigan and a dune to your left, and there's plenty of parking there, and there's walking, and there's a beach, and just places to hang out and sit.
How many people can you see?
So it's mainly outside, which is nice, especially during these times. There are 4 tables inside. We haven't really had to utilize them at all. There's picnic tables, and they're spread apart, and we have 2 pavilions. So there's a front pavilion or a patio that's right outside where we serve food, and then there's a back one that's shaded that has a decent amount of space.
Now, Eve, I see that you're not open all the time. You've been open since the 10th, but you're not open 7 days a week. Tell us a little bit about your schedule, how that works.
We are open Wednesday through Sunday, and we're playing around with the hours right now, but Wednesdays and Thursdays, we're thinking we're just going to do the sunset hours, so in the evening, 4 till sunset, and then open a little earlier on Friday, and Saturday and Sunday, we will be open from 11 a.m. till sunset.
Wow, that sounds great. It's a great stop there. You have an actual menu of items. We touched on that a little bit, but tell us kind of specifically some of the things you have.
Well, we were very excited to be able to have the beer and wine because I love craft beer, as you know. So we do have some local breweries. We're going to start with Four Fathers out of Valpo. And then we're doing a lot of snack items. We have hummus from Mo. We have pretzels from Arturo's. We have pizza, tamales. We're going to introduce some hot dogs, I think. And then we're going to play around a little bit with some special event nights. So we might do a cheese plate, cheese and wine, or have somebody come in and do some sort of barbecue or something like that. Once we get going, we really wanted to start out slow so that we do it right and just have everybody enjoy everything that we have.
You've been pretty busy with Dig the Dunes, everything. Is this taking on something much bigger, or is it going to occupy a lot more of your time?
Well, it's interesting because lately I've had to cancel several of our events, so I do have a little bit more time right now. We'll see, and then I'm thinking through the summer I'm going to focus on this. I do have a great team that I'm working with that eventually I'm hoping will be able to take over a little bit more of the actual operational hours. And then I can focus and keep doing what I do with Dig the Dunes and make sure we're still doing lots of good things in the area.
Well, one other thing with COVID-19, how's that impacted you for Dig the Dunes? You talked a little bit about that, but give us a little thumbnail of that.
It did quite a bit. I had several sold-out events that were planned, and we had to go through, and we've postponed some of them, we've canceled some of them. A lot of people have been great, and they're holding on to their tickets and just waiting to see when we'll be able to actually have some of the events. So that was nice. It changed things. I went back a little bit to the basics, right where I started, where I was doing more writing and taking pictures and trying to give people something other than just COVID news and write some stories that had a little bit of a positive spin about things around the area.
Very good. You also, while we've got you on the line, I'm sure you're going to be doing the annual calendar again. Tell us just briefly about that. We've got a little less than a minute left.
Yes, for sure. We're going to do the calendar, and that will be probably, we get that kicked off in September. So people can start taking some photos now. It's always good to have photos from every month, and we will have people enter their photos in September. We'll do it the same way where they let us know what months they want to enter, and then we will pick our top 12 and have the calendar release party again in November.
Very good. Well, I think that's all the time we have. That's Eve Wierzbicki from Dig the Dunes and talking about the new trail stop located along the trail there. Welcome back to Art in the Air. Good luck with the new venture.
Congratulations, Eve. Thank you very much.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM.
And now we'd like to welcome to Art on the Air, Sholo Beverly. She is a mixed media artist that draws her inspiration from the female body and organic shapes in nature. And she learned by embracing her mistakes for a better understanding of what the universe wants from her. Welcome to the show.
Aloha.
Hello.
Glad to have you. What I'd like to start off with is let our listeners know a little bit about you, like where you started from, where you grew up, and how you got from where you were to where you are now.
Oh, wow. Big question. Yeah.
So I'm from Wilmette, Illinois. I'm actually a twin, and we're 11 minutes apart. I'm the second born, and we're fraternal. She actually lives in Chicago, which is great because she saves my life all the time.
And she's so adorable.
Yeah, she is. I've been in Wilmette. I was in Wilmette for a long time, graduated from New Trier, went off to University of Cincinnati to study art, which did not work. So I came home, and ended up at the School of the Art Institute in Chicago. I did do Columbia for a year in between there while I was working on my portfolio, but ended up at the School of the Art Institute. And then when I couldn't get a job, when I got out, I always did art with kids. So I knew I wanted to continue doing work with children. So I ended up opening 2 daycare centers where I could focus on art and just playing and being with kids all day. And so did that for almost 17 years, got pregnant, and now I live in Highland Park and I raised my kids here, and I've been doing, I have my own business in Deerfield. So yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your business in Deerfield.
I do childcare. I have an in-home daycare.
Oh, okay. So that's something that should give you a lot of inspiration for your art.
Oh, all the time.
And fun things to talk about. They say the most wonderful, expressive, intuitive things.
Yeah, always. And I have my camera on me all the time when we're out. So I get great pictures of them, and I can catch butterflies and mushrooms. And so it's like it's creativity all day, every day.
In fact, I just brought up a word that I actually have. I want to know, when did you begin your intuitive drawings? Because when you would come to events at the Nest, you would be doing these intuitive sketches, drawings during, you know, the concerts. And so when did that begin for you?
You know, that's a good question. I think I've always drawn like that, but doing it out in public has only been recently, if that answers your question. So
And I know that because you're very private about it as well. You know, it's kind of like you don't want to, it's almost like a magnet for people to approach you, but you don't want to break the flow. So, what is that like? You know,
it is intuitive, and most of the time when I do it, I'm in the dark. So I don't even know what it's going to turn out like. So I think I like the element of surprise, and I don't mind as much when people are looking over it, but you always get some sort of verb to describe like what you're doing, like, you know, oh, look at that. And it's like, I'm not even looking. So,
right.
Like, it's, yeah.
I mean, it's truly like watching automatic drawings or writing, you know? It really is. You just, it's beautiful to watch you doing it.
Sholo, I have a question about, you may have homemade inks. I know you use a collage pen and ink. Tell us about the homemade inks. How do you do that?
Oh, the homemade inks. I kind of became a junkie with that last year. And
yeah.
I just wanted to stop. I still do. I want to stop being a consumer of art supplies. For one, because of just the chemicals in them. And, you know, I guess I just want my work to be as organic as possible. And so I think we've all made our own little ink somewhere from a child, you know, and by mistake we've done it. But I went full-fledged into getting books and researching color. So I've done from walnuts to avocado seeds to, you know, my guy gives me a bunch of copper that I can make blue and then patina stuff. I just went all out. And so now I have pretty much, the only color I don't have is green.
Oh, spinach.
Yeah.
green is a difficult one, so I do need to tackle that one. But I pretty much have lots of colors, and it's nice. They last forever.
We would dye Easter eggs using natural things. We, you know, make our own pigments for that.
That's awesome.
I noticed in your biography about how you, and you kind of taught touched on this, but maybe explored a little bit more, how you kind of rebelled against the formal training at the arts and went your own way.
Well, for one, when I started at the Art Institute, it was all about abstract work. And you know, it's beautiful. I honestly cannot do abstract work. And I think people think it's so easy, but like my brain doesn't go that way. And so when I was doing a lot of figurative painting and drawing, and people would look at my stuff and like, but that's not right, or you're not doing this or whatever. And I was like, but isn't that the point of art? Like, am I supposed to be copying or what? And so I just decided right there, after you have like an 8-hour critique of people just saying what you shouldn't be doing, and what it's like, oh, okay, well, this is easy. I'm going to continue on the path that I'm on.
So would you recommend that to an artist? I mean, did the art training that you got there at least teach you techniques that you can then decide, I like this, or I don't like this?
For sure. But when somebody asks me, you know, my child's interested in art, should they go to this art school? No. They don't need to go to art school. I think you need to find a trade that you really like with art. I mean, the one regret that I have, and I should just speak from my experience, I wish that I did more computer stuff. But I wanted old school. I wanted my paintbrush. I wanted my papers. And I know a little bit of computer stuff, but I probably could have had kind of a fun career if I would have.
This time now, everything's online.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, but I'm slowly, you know, they have a lot of apps, so I'm getting what I would have gotten out of going to a 4-year college. I'm imagining learning that.
Don't you find paper is just so exquisite? I mean, like, it's, you know, I love the stuff that's designed on the computer, but there's just something so beautiful about working on paper.
For sure, and that was my whole argument. Like, how I'm a paper junkie. I just couldn't even imagine not being able to touch paper and have a pen. So, yeah. The collage is pretty new. I would say in the last 2 years, I love surrealism. So I think that was something that kind of drove me to it, and just being able to like make these utopias and not have to worry about how is it going to get there. You know, when you see the perfect piece, when you're looking through a magazine or cutting, it's like, it just flows so naturally, and you don't, there's no stress in collaging.
Yeah. My students, I teach K-6, and the students love when I bring in the magazines and the old calendars, and they're able to create from all of those pieces.
Oh, I bet.
You know what? I love your Be Loved T-shirt as well. It's just such a glorious collaboration. That was a collaboration with Jonathan, right? Or was it?
Yeah, Jonathan. Yeah, Jonathan actually did the lettering. I think like we made it together at one point, like when we first started dating, and then he kind of took it from there. Yeah. We decided to do t-shirts with it.
So Sholo, tell us how COVID-19 has been influencing your art. Has that changed? And like also personally, I mean, you're now just reopening a daycare, I assume so, but how's that all influenced you over these last several months?
Yeah, I was actually fortunate enough to keep my business open because it's very small. I only have 4 kids. So the parents, you know, all started working from home, like even before we were banned from going to work. So it's, you know, I have strict policies. I don't have as long as of hours. The parents cannot come in the house, but so it's just, we're just a small, it's it's like my family. So we all just kind of follow the same rules, and I was really lucky to be able to continue working.
But how's that influenced your art?
Just the part of being isolated, even though I kind of am isolated anyway with my job, but it was, there's just been so many different emotions, and it was so surreal for a long time there, and I was in a manic state for a very long time, so it was like I was just drawing all the time, everywhere, on anything, because I didn't know what else to do. So,
and now it's going into the political, because you arranged a very, very successful protest march.
Yeah, that was
fun. Deerfield, which I think is kind of, it was very moving.
Thank you. That was just a spur of the moment kind of thing. But as far as like what's going on with George Floyd and the political part, like, that has just kind of been my savior, being able to do art, because I just don't know what else to do except to express through that. And, actually, I've been invited to submit to two shows that are supporting Black Lives Matter. And I think I might submit some of those pieces.
Well, it was quite an accomplishment to have a peaceful protest with like 300 to 400 people.
You know, and I didn't even think about the consequences of it, and even when it was over, it didn't even dawn on me how peaceful it was. It was like, I can't believe we just did that. And it's like, we just can't stop.
Has to do with your spirit,
I guess.
So tell us about the textiles, how that integrates into what you do in art.
Oh, textiles. Because, oh my God, who doesn't want to put art everywhere? I mean, on the back of jackets, on T-shirts, on pants. You know, if I could ever have a dream come true, it's just to have my art on everything, especially linen. Like, I love linen. So to have, like, a pair of sheets that just has a piece of my artwork on it, that's always been kind of a dream of mine. Is that it? I mean...
Oh, sure. That's great. Yeah, and, you know... Being mixed media, what are the medias that you mix then? What do you use?
Right now I actually just started doing encaustic painting with collage.
Are you using beeswax or paraffin?
Beeswax.
Yeah, it smells so good, doesn't it?
It does smell good.
Tell us a little bit about Sholo, about some of the exhibits. Have you been exhibited around what areas? Have you done one at the Nest or in Northwest Indiana, Chicago?
I've done two in Chicago. I actually had one that was supposed to be, I meant to bring the card down. It was supposed to be in August in May. And obviously it was postponed, and so now it's they've changed it to October. And I could, I wish I could remember the name of it. But
I was just looking at it.
Yeah, and then I've exhibited up north before, but the two galleries that are interested in me submitting are down in the city. So the one that got canceled in May was at the Cornelia Artist Building, and that's in Chicago. And that's been changed to October. So hopefully. And then the other two shows are in July, and they're both online. But I think once this lifts, they're going to have some sort of opening.
Very good.
Yeah.
Do you have a website or... tell us about how they can see your work, like a Pinterest and Instagram or Facebook.
Okay. My website is always down and needing work on it. So, but you can find me everywhere else. I'm on Instagram with Artist Sholo at Instagram. Pinterest, a good friend of mine made this site, so it wasn't me that named it, but it's called Amazing Artist Sholo Beverly on Pinterest. So you can, there's different categories. That's funny. And that's there. So Facebook, you can find me Sholo, Sholo Beverly on Facebook, and then that'll take you to my artist page.
Very good.
Still teaching art classes?
I just finished the one right before the pandemic hit, and the one thing I'm doing is I'm teaching for the Cancer Federation on June 18th on a Zoom, and we're going to be doing intuitive Zen Tangle.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, well, that should be fun.
And Sholo, how could someone reach you if they want to get in touch with you, like email or however you want them?
Sure. My email is serenegreendesign@comcast.net. And, you know, if you go to any of my social media pages, I'm on them. I respond pretty quickly. And, yeah.
Very good. Do you take commissions?
I do. I have one, a big one right now that I have not even started. Actually, yeah, I have one, and then I'm starting a mural on Sunday.
And where's that going to be? Mural.
The mural is in Deerfield, and I am actually not allowed to release the location until it's done and for the unveiling.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Sholo was, and her sister was, they were fashion models for the fashion show that we put on through the Uptown Arts District.
Yeah, that was fun.
Okay, that was so much fun.
We could do that again.
I know, it was planned, but it had to be postponed.
Yeah.
So how is, we touched on this a little bit about your art, but how's COVID-19, you know, influenced you personally? What have you felt about that? You touched a little bit about that, but maybe explore that a little more.
How has it influenced? Well, I think one thing that we're going to appreciate after coming out of this is community. But for me as an artist, like I think it's just so important. And I always quote this from Nina Simone, like, as an artist, it's so important for us to reflect the time. So I feel like my art is just, I'm like on overdrive because I'm not lacking in any ideas. Like, they won't stop. It's actually just become like a full-time job that I'm kind of sort of getting paid for. I think it's made me realize how important community is and it's going to be once we come out of this.
So what are you looking forward to after it's passed? Or do you think that we'll have a new normal?
I don't think this is going to be our new normal. I think this was just a way to stop our world for a while because everybody's just going crazy. But I don't think this is the new normal. And after this is over, you know, the one thing that's making me nuts is that none of the beaches are open where I live. And if the ones are open, you have to live in the town, which, you know, now they're really making a big deal because they don't want a lot of people coming to the beaches. So I cannot get down to 3 beaches in my area. So I'm having to skip town. So that's the one thing I look forward to, like the beach is just opening back up.
It's especially when you're water babies, it's essential.
Yeah, yeah.
Mermaids need water.
Right. So that's the only thing I'm looking forward to.
Well, that's something to look forward to. You talked a little bit about your exhibits, but anything further down the road that you're looking to exhibit? Maybe at the Nest or something like that?
Well, that's up to Esther. So,
you know, we're not even sure when we are going to be able to open again because we don't fit into phase 3. So I haven't found the phase that, you know, we fit in yet.
Yeah, that would be fun. I mean, I know that one big project that needs to be started now is the art center up here. I would like to work with them with doing something kind of big for Black History Month. So that's something that I'm kind of working on.
With you personally, or a collaboration, or with the
a collaboration with just doing something to bring awareness and to give, you know, just to kind of be out of, think out of the box and get out into the community with some art with, you know, from people of color.
Looking for if a new artist was coming to you and you say, what advice would you give them?
Well, for one, do art every day. Do it every day. Find a way to do it. If it's, you know, you're in the grocery store, find a cool bottle, buy it, empty it, do something with it. You know, just try to be creative every day. And, you know, don't thrive off of everybody loving your artwork. Don't base your career and your, you know, it doesn't matter what anybody thinks about your art.
So do you have a current art crush? Is there somebody who is inspired?
Yeah, I do. Her name is Lisa Clegg, and she is a sculptor. And she does a little drawing, and she's out of North Carolina. You should look her up, Lisa Clegg. Like, I kind of have a crush on her artwork.
Wow.
And then there's a guy on Instagram, Toby Mulligan, and he does figure drawing like nobody that I've ever seen. And he's out of Europe, and so sometimes we go back and forth talking, and it's kind of nice.
Is there some kind of art that you haven't done that you'd like to try?
Right now, it's the encaustic, and I finally, we had a workshop planned since April, which kept getting canceled, and we finally just took it. So it was encaustic for about a year, and now I'm doing it. So I need to tackle this for a little bit, and then probably something else will come along.
That's the beauty of it.
We have about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts there, Sholo?
Thank you for having me, guys. This is exciting, and I love what you guys are doing with the art community, and I hope people will come and visit my site and say hello, and anybody got anything going on collaborating-wise or organization, I would love to hear about it.
Well, we appreciate you being on the show. Sholo Beverly, she's a mixed media artist, gaining her inspiration from the female body, organic shapes in nature. And you can find her on Pinterest, Instagram, and on Facebook. Sholo, thank you so much for being on Art in the Air. I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thanks, guys.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM.
Like to welcome to Art in the Air, Wendy Warmont, also known as Shante, and she is a singer-songwriter integrating Kirtan mantra, meditation music, sound healing, and everything since 1990. And she's a lover of sacred music from many traditions. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Well, yeah, Esther and Larry, I'm so happy to be here.
Well, we're really happy to have you. What we'd like to know is kind of your origin story of how you got from where you are to where you are now, as you're growing up and school and everything like that.
Sure. Well, I grew up actually moving around quite a bit, from basically California, the West Coast, to the East Coast, New York, Connecticut, and then landing in the Midwest around Indiana and Chicago. And I would say that kind of led me to be open to a lot of different kind of people. And also, because I was moving around a lot, I was always, you know, learning to have an inner world and with a strong connection to nature. And actually, early on, I didn't grow up with music. It was a late life occurrence. I always wanted to sing, and I always had music running through my head, but it wasn't actually until I was in my mid-30s that I got into it later. I ended up in Indiana University, and my degree was in actually radio and TV and theater. And, you know, early years were working in advertising, and it wasn't until I got into kind of a spiritual journey that I started uncovering that deep desire to learn to sing. But I was initially kind of afraid. I was very shy about it. And my initial journey was one of learning yoga and meditation and spirituality and healing and getting into music kind of in a roundabout way, because in those paths you do things like oming and toning and sound healing and things like that. So that was my introduction to being musical. So yeah, I would say that through that healing and learning shamanic healing from indigenous people and drumming and collectively working with the voice and then using things like gongs and bowls, I started to work on my own self first. And as I started to open my voice a little, it was so beneficial to me. I'll just tell you, I had an interesting awakening, a little story. At one point, I had one of those crises in my life where everything kind of fell apart at once. My car engine blew, my cat died, I lost my job, and I was in a crossroads. I didn't know what to do, and I was on the road, and I was at a friend's house, and I was sort of meditating to this large abstract painting that was on a table, and I was sort of talking to God or the universe, saying, I have no idea what to do. I don't know what job. I don't know where to go, where to live. You're going to have to show me.
Yeah. What a freedom. What a freedom, though, to make a change. I mean, that is all the signals to change direction, is when everything kind of falls apart.
Right. And right now, so many people are going through that. It's like when you're kind of in the dark night of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
And when you earnestly sometimes have that, I don't know, I need, you know, and you reach out.
Right, exactly.
And it was really funny because as it turned out that large painting on that table, I looked underneath and I saw metal that said Singer. And it wasn't a table, it was a sewing machine, a Singer sewing machine.
Oh my God.
And then I felt like that was the message from God, universe, whatever. And that was the point where I really realized I wanted to sing. That led to, you know, just singing a bit with garage band friends and writing lyrics. And it was a very slow go. I wasn't trained. I taught myself guitar initially and wrote original music and hooked up with another band that was sort of a world music fusion band, Access Mundi. And so the beginning origin story is doing more of original music that was philosophical. But I would say later I started to realize that that music was about venting emotions or, you know, standard themes of love and loss of love and angst. And once I was in the yoga path and I saw that instead of doing music as a performing art, these ancient and indigenous cultures had music for the healing arts. It wasn't about self.
No, it was more devotional, right?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Oh, it's more devotional.
Yeah, it's devotional, connecting to community, to God, to nature.
Shared experience.
You know? Yeah, and it's not about your own separate self, and it's about your own opening, your healing, about sending goodwill and healing to the planet, to others. So that world is really beautiful, and a lot of it comes out of the East, out of India. Some of that music's called kirtan music or mantra music. It's like people get together and they sing prayers with it could be for peace, for liberating people from oppression, raising love, you know.
Right. And it is all about finding that place of love within yourself, too, so that you can share that.
Yeah, because kirtan style is often in Sanskrit, an ancient language of India, and often in another language. And you sing repetitive phrases, which is meant to kind of work on your mind, like to calm your mind and your body, and it's like a meditation.
It is, but it's also a little more active sometimes, too. You get into that groove of the meditation, but then, and then you're free to do whatever you want. People will be dancing, they will be chanting along, they'll be swaying, you know. It's a very active devotion.
Right. Yeah, the devotion part is, even though it, when you say meditation, you think, oh, somebody's just sitting there. There's this inner calm, but this form that they call it bhakti in India, and the word bhav, the root, is meant to describe like a emotional atmosphere that you conjure this feeling in your heart that's love, and that the singing arises out of that love space. And then when you can be feel very moved to dance and feel celebratory, but then you can also feel very calm and inward too. It just leaves a lot of room for wherever you're at.
Right, and sometimes that all happens at the same time. You can be in that meditative space, but still be dancing around and having, it's a beautiful space to be in, especially the one that you create, because they're just so tailored. I mean, I can only speak to the experiences that I've had, but it's beautiful that you tailor it to each event. There is no standard kirtan experience, you know. It's
right.
All of the moments, and I love that you pick kind of themes to work around as well.
Yeah, I would say it's like a ceremony for me. You know, the work that I had done previously spiritually with indigenous groups and healers and shamans and the meditation, so then I feel like I can take that experience and combine it now with the kirtan, and let's say part of that experience, you can take that moment to create a little ceremony for whatever it might be, Mother's Day, Earth Day, and gather people together with focus in that way. Or let's say some previous experience with Sufis and dancing or more ecstatic dance, that the kirtan is perfect for helping people to move
well,
their energy.
Also, then you started to work with horses. How did that come about? And what insight or change have you experienced because of that for yourself? And what have you observed in the horses when you go out and work with them?
Yeah, excellent, yeah. So I'm just going to say, there are some horse rescue places that I've befriended and in the last few years. So I will put together programs with them with the kirtan and other sound healing and things that are a little more gentle, because a lot of these animals have been traumatized, so you want to tread carefully. And what I noticed is I feel like the horses are looking, they're very they're like highly tuned and sensitive, and I feel like they're very aware. And when I come and I usually go and meet the animals before a gig, and I talk to them, and I look right at them, and they really want to look at me, like almost like eye gazing, and it feels like they're peering deeply within my soul. I've actually had it where I've met the horses, and I've gone to leave, and I said goodbye to like most of them, and I forgot to say goodbye to like one on the end, and then as I was leaving, he was snorting at me, like I didn't say goodbye to him. There's really
they recognize when you come back again. They recognize you.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
And I just a friend of mine that drums with me grew up with horses, and we call him a human horse, and he drums very horse-like. And when we started, the whole herd of horses came down from the back field right up to the fence by him. Like, just so many magical attuning things, and it woke me up to that subtler dimension of awareness and vibration, and a kind of a gentleness. And where you're going beyond language, you're a lot of body language.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM.
You know, Shanti, we'd like to maybe hear a sample of that music. Can you set up you play with a group. Tell us about that. And the song is Loca. Tell us a little bit about, we can't play the whole thing, but a little bit about that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So this song, Loca, is song from a ancient Sanskrit prayer. The whole phrase is Loka Samasta Sukhi No Bhavantu. And the essence of it is, you know, may all beings be happy, be free, you know, be at ease, be peaceful. And it's that through all your actions and word that you would generate and offer that peacefulness for yourself and for everyone around you. So it's a prayer for every being. And this is part of the Ananda Leela Kirtan. That's my Kirtan band. Our album, and this will be the back half of the song, kind of where we're starting to raise energy. So what you do with this is these mantras are repeating, and if you feel like singing along or meditating on that concept, allowing the mind to quiet and that you're offering peace and love through this mantra, and there's an English prayer piece on the end.
Okay, so why don't we go ahead and give a listen to Loka. And that's Loca Chante and her Kirtan music. So that was wonderful.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about that. I mean, you told us to set that up for us, but also our audience will be interested in how to get in touch with you and what do you have plans for your future?
Yeah. So the band is primarily presented on Facebook right now, Ananda Leela Kirtan, and or you could find me, Wendy Warnemont. Also, my website for myself and all these things is Antar Shanti, AntarShanti. So those are a few ways to contact us. Right now, this summer, with everything going on, it's a regrouping, recording time. And then also, I'm reworking some of my direction with the music. Pretty soon, you'll be able to see, I'm going to be presenting some live Zoom, Facebook and Zoom programs where I'm getting into looping with a lot of vocal layers or very trancey ambient sounds with a double dulcimer and effects, tambura, melodica, kind of if you've seen people looping where they're layering. And it's a different time, so the music is going to weave a lot more with teaching, guided meditations, other contemplations. Because I think for now, folks need to feel more peace and ease and gentleness and reflection. So it's going in that kind of gentler direction right now.
That sounds beautiful.
And we'll see. Yeah, we'll see because it's a big unknown for everybody how we can all gather.
You also have a YouTube presence, too, that they can see your work on that.
Oh, yeah. So Ananda Leela Kirtan, I do have a YouTube. If you check us out on YouTube and Bandcamp, we're on Bandcamp as well. If you
right, because you had a new album. When was the last album? It was not quite a year ago.
Yeah, I think it's a couple years.
It's
called Amama, and we're continuing to record. And it's going to be interesting. I think the music is going to, this whole quarantine thing is going to produce a different sound, you know, with this reflection.
That's for sure. Well, we'd like to thank you for being on Art in the Air. That's Wendy Warnemont, and also known as Chante, with her wonderful music. You heard that here. You can also, if you go to our website and her picture on it, you can link to it, and it'll take you to some of those web presences you have. Thank you so much for being on Art on the Air.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Very
aloha.
And we'd like to thank our guests today for being on Art in the Air, which is heard every Friday at 11 a.m., rebroadcast Monday at 5 p.m., and Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. Your hosts are Larry Breckner and Esther Golden. Thanks again to Greg Kovach, WVLP's station manager. Underwriters for Art in the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum and Walt Breininger of Paragon Investments. Also, Mary Levan is our art patron supporter. Art in the Air is supported by the Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant and the National Endowment for the Arts. If you're interested in being a guest or send us information about your arts-related event, exhibit, please email us at artontheair@gmail.com. That's artontheair@gmail.com. See you right here next week, 103.1 FM and 89.1 FM, Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know. Esther and Larry, Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air, our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.